the Korean, first of all, I tried to look up where do you guys come up with this name, but I couldn't find anything on the internet so far. Can you give us a little bit of the background on how you guys came up with this name?
Yeah, absolutely. We were at a pizzeria in St. Paul, and we were just drinking and bullshitting, and our waitress's name was Corin, and we were a little bit inebriated, so we mispronounced it, and thought that was kind of a good sounding name. It didn't really mean anything to us at the time, so it was just, yeah, Korean, that's a great name. That's a great name for a band, something that's original and no one else has. And then we Googled it, and it came up some science fiction themed stories, and kind of thought, well, we can kind of run with this. So we kind of took on a little bit of a sci-fi space theme as far as our artwork and imagery goes, and just kind of went that direction.
Oh, well, that's creative enough. So was it waitress worth remembering and naming your band after, or it was kind of like a...
I guess I wish I remembered. I'm sure the service was adequate. I don't remember. I couldn't take her out of a crowd if I had to.
Well, some anonymous person that you have to thank for.
Exactly.
So you guys been together since 2005, and I mean the U.S. scene has a lot of bands like every other scene, I assume, but morally focused on metalcore and something more pop, I mean, commercial friendly, you can call it. How do you guys been able to make a name for yourselves and all the way through getting, you know, signed by Nuclear Blast in such a short time?
And I don't really know. I mean, we kind of just started the project. We wanted to do something technical and crazy, and you know, in the vein of some of our favorite bands in the genre, and you know, Dillinger Escape Plan obviously is a big influence on us. But the real thing we always did was we just wanted to keep evolving, and we kind of, when we started the band, we made it a point that we were going to evolve, and we weren't going to let ourselves be caught in some sort of genre like that could become stagnant or was stagnant, or I mean, we get labeled stuff, all kinds of crazy things, experimental noodle grind, I mean, you name it, we've been called it. But I think it's just because our music does change from record to record, and it does, you know, even from show to show, so it's hard for people to kind of describe what we sound like. It's hard for us to describe what we sound like, because it's kind of a bastardization of a bunch of styles, like, all in one. So I think I'm kind of flipping away from your question, but the answer is I don't really know. I think it's because we have a fresh view, you know, and that we were able to get attention, you know, and get Nuclear Blast attention, and they saw that, you know, they liked our talent, and they liked what we were doing, I mean, enough to get behind us, which is pretty amazing.
And for Dreaming Saturn, did you guys shopped around the album to the label, or they just told you, okay, just here's money, record it, we'll see if we like it later?
Yeah, we didn't shop around. They contacted us, and they're an amazing label, and we didn't really have any questions in our mind that we wanted to sign with them. As far as the music, they didn't hear any of it until we gave them a full-length master. So we didn't have to. They've been amazing about letting us just keep our vision and do what we want to do, and they're really happy with the album. We're really happy with the album. They didn't muscle us in one direction or another. And I think they were actually really surprised how the full length turned out after, you know, signing us kind of on the back of the 5-song EP, the self-titled. The quite a different feel emotionally. So I think they were pleased with that.
And how do you feel they're handling the promotion of you guys, since most of the bands that they're trying to push recently in the U.S. have a particularly different focus of metal?
Right. I think they're doing a great job getting behind us. We need to get out on the road a little bit more, and you know, our booking agents working on that, getting us on some some packages that make sense with us. The hard part is that we don't sound quite mainstream enough that we can just get plopped on any tour and have it make sense, you know, in the context of the show. So that's kind of one thing that we're struggling with right now, is finding like a proper tour, a proper group of bands to go out with, so that it makes sense for everybody. But as far as promotion and everything, you know, I think they're doing a great job for, you know, a band as small as us, getting our name out there. I mean, getting us these interviews and getting us reviews in magazines. It's not something we could never do on our own. We don't have the resources, so it's been pretty phenomenal.
And how do you guys feel that the response for Dreaming Saturn has been in Europe, that the album was released 3 weeks after in the U.S.?
Well, it hasn't. They actually haven't released it in Europe yet, they decided that they wanted to just keep it in U.S. I mean, it's released in online sources.
Oh, okay, yeah.
As far as a proper European release, they haven't done that yet, and we've been told that they want to focus on the U.S. our local market first. We have a lot of fans in Europe, and all over. We send a lot of merch over there, and sent some hard copies of CDs over there too. The response for the album overall has been really amazing. You know, people have just been really, really happy with it. You know, and I'm glad they are.
And talking a little bit more about the concept, Dreaming Saturn, what's the overall concept, or if there's no concept, ideas behind this release?
Well, the concept behind it was kind of twofold. It was less of a concept. It was a concept element that we wanted to write it as one big piece. Before Dreaming Saturn, our style of writing was write riffs and then write transitions to put those riffs together. And we didn't think much, you know, about the next song or much about two songs down the line, just one song, one song, one song. And with Dreaming Saturn, we really focused on thinking down the road of the album and like trying to have it all make sense and have ups and downs and a lot more dynamics and a lot more effects. And as far as that was really our core focus when we wrote Dreaming Saturn, was to make sure that, you know, we could put some longer songs together and do some more soundscapey things and still keep it technical and interesting and spastic at times, but be able to kind of reel it in a little bit and put some points of references in to make it more listenable just for 45 minutes.
And is the writing process, since you guys have been together for a while, is it getting any easier, or you still have troubles coming up with songs since because of the technical content that your songs have?
Well, I think it's getting quite easier, especially now that Chris, our drummer, has been with us for a couple of years now. I mean, we definitely have a nice working rapport for writing, and we're able to focus in on, you know, longer songs and take it more as a composition and less as a puzzle to put together. So, and that actually just makes it easier thinking about it in a different way than we had before. But, you know, we all bring, you know, riffs and ideas to the table and just kind of work off of them. And usually we try to have like a core idea or a core progression that we work from and kind of expand and bastardize and work from that so that it makes sense in, you know, linear fashion.
And a lot of the bands that have like a similar style to you guys don't like to use vocals under music just to showcase the music more. But why did you guys decide to pick to use vocals?
I really feel that the vocals are an important part. I mean, I do love a lot of instrumental music, but I think the vocals just give our music an intensity and just kind of like a dirty feeling that someone can get behind, and it helps push the music. And when I listen to music, you know, it's that kind of focal point for me. It's just to latch onto. And I think it really, I feel that it helps round our sound out quite a bit, having the vocals.
And you said that you guys want to keep evolving and stuff. Would you ever consider going a little bit softer, or maybe, you know, some breakdowns, more like a metal chorus kind of way, just to appeal to a broader audience, or you think you're just going to keep it along the same line?
I think with Jimmy and Saturn, we found a good balance between being crazy and being melodic. We'll never be a breakdown band. That's just not what we enjoy, and we wouldn't have fun playing it every day, and I certainly wouldn't want to write something like that. It has its place, but just not in the crew. I could definitely see us becoming, you know, the new stuff that we're working on now is got more melody, maybe even more approachable, but not in a sense that we're trying to subscribe to the style or work something specific into our music to appeal to more people. We write what we want, and what we enjoy, what challenges us, and we love it that people appreciate it and enjoy it and want to sit down and try to stand it with us, but we're not gonna make it so that they can. We challenge ourselves when we write it, and I'm happy that it's a challenge and people listen to it as well.
And what about for future plans? You say you're writing music. Do you guys have any target time that you need to, like, come up with a different, with a new album? Or since this one's not going to be getting really pushed in Europe yet?
Right. I think, you know, we started working on another full length now. We're slow writers, and it takes us a long time. So I wouldn't imagine we'd be... We've already started demoing some things, but there's no way that we'll have anything before a couple of years, for sure. You know, we need to have time to help promote Dream Insider and to get on the road, which we haven't been able to do sufficiently yet. So there's plenty of time for Dream Insider, and still really fresh.
And what was your, when you guys jumped into the label, what was your main idea for you guys, since you have a sound that might be more appealing for Europe, like we mentioned before, than to the U.S., but you're kind of in the middle.
Right, yeah, I'm kind of stuck in a country that, yeah, I know what you're saying. I right now, there's so many big releases and big bands on Nuclear Blast that are coming out in Europe right now, and if we got sandwiched in between all that, you might just kind of get lost in the shuffle, and I believe that we're waiting for a time where it can be given more, not credit, but attention by the label, and not to bombard the fans over there. There's a lot of big releases on Nuclear Blast coming out right now, especially this summer. I wanted to come out over there really bad, because I know that market will be good for us, and we have a lot of fans over there, and a lot of people that haven't heard of us over there that need to.
And do you think that your time with, I mean, like getting on a big label came out a little bit too early, maybe, with all these little details?
As far as us getting signed with them, you mean, like, too soon in our career?
Yeah.
Maybe, but I'm not going to kick a gift horse in the mouth. I mean, the springboard, you know, the ability that the label has, and the backing that they've given us, and the support, and it's phenomenal, and it's almost impossible as a band to do that independently and to get your name out there to more and more people. And that's really what it's all about, is just people hearing you, and it's hard to do that on your own. You know, I don't know if maybe a smaller label we could have started on, sure, but yeah, like I said, I don't know when when's the good time? I don't really know. I don't know that there's a bad time.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
what made you guys start playing this different type of music in a country where we're bombarded by all this other whatever core stuff?
Yeah, we were just really frustrated with. I mean, we've all been big fans of metal, and we were Cole and I in particular, when we started the band, we were very frustrated with the state of metal. You know, 2005, just the breakdown, metalcore genre was everywhere. You couldn't get away from it. And, you know, when we first started touring and playing shows, those were all the shows that we were on, and we made a lot of. We turned a lot of heads playing those shows because we stuck out. But it was frustrating for us when we went to see shows, but that's like pretty much all we could find in the smaller venues as far as what was being represented for metal. That or just really atrocious deathcore bands. So we wanted to do something different and fresh, and you know, every band that we've been in previous and Cole had been in, and you know, everybody wanted to go in that direction because that's where they thought all the fans wanted them to go. So it just became a whole bunch of bands that seemingly were doing the same thing just for I'm not sure what reason. And we had a little bit loftier goals, and you know, we wanted people to like our music, and we want people to listen to us, but we wanted to challenge ourselves and do it. And I don't think I'd be challenged as a musician, you know, playing that style of music.
And a lot of those bands, they're mainly studio magic that works in their albums. How much do you think it's enough for you guys or for a band to use, like, you know, special production techniques behind an album and then putting it out and then not being able to do it live? But where do you think that, or you guys draw the limit?
Well, you know, when we started the band and we first started recording stuff, I really wanted to be able to reproduce everything live. But we're a four piece and we're going to stay a four piece. We're not going to be adding another guitarist. And on our album, Cole does a lot of second guitar parts, a lot of things that we can't do live. It's not studio trickery or anything like that. It's just something that, you know, if you listen to the album intensely, and you might notice that there's, like, a few things missing when we play live. But we do run samples and run sampler, and the effects are the same, and we try really hard to make it the experience live that is on the album with more energy and, you know, obviously that visual stimulation. We don't do any sound replacement on the drums or anything like that. I think that's going too far. We like that natural, spacey tone. And yeah, I mean, I do think if you start going too far, I think that's going too far. But I don't think it's ever going to be, unless you're between the Barry and me, where it sounds just like listening to Ellen when you see them live, I don't think it's very practical to have a whole bunch of crazy effects and second guitar parts and, you know, bass drops and things like that and be able to do it just like the album live. I don't even know that it's that important to be able to do that either. I used to think it really was, and now I appreciate the organic experience of the live show more than I did 5 years ago. So I appreciate that, being able to hear different inflection and different bands do different things live when I see them.
So you don't have a thought that, I mean, since now music's getting more complicated, more technical, then you're kind of missing the magic of the people just making the music. Now there's a lot of production even behind the live show compared to a few years ago.
Well, yeah, no, I can see that, but I think the working of the effects and the production of a live show is, you know, part of the experience. I mean, yeah, it's great to just go watch a sick guitar player just shred it up with absolutely nothing else going on, but I think most people want to go to a show that's a show. And when you go see metal, I want to see guys jumping around and headbanging on stage and, like, at least feeling the music half as much as I do as a fan. And I think that's important to have a little bit of showmanship
and
production.
And if you guys had like an unlimited budget for a live show, what do you think would you guys use to have the Korean experience in a live setting?
Well, we just, yeah, that's a really good question. I like that. We just started recently using a projector, a video projector, during our shows. So, I mean, I think we'd definitely have synced up lights and synced up video and make it, you know, a huge experience visually and audially. Yeah. But we don't have an unlimited budget, unfortunately. So we have a backdrop with a video projector.
And what are your goals for the band? Where do you want to take it?
Right now one of our big goals is to tour Europe, and hopefully that'll happen sometime next year. We really are just working in the here and now. I don't have any illusions that our style of music or the music that we make is going to ever become some big popular thing that everyone enjoys. I'm not going to make a living off of it, but I mean, we do want to continue to tour, continue to make albums, continue to get them released, and to grow, you know, as much as we can, as much as reasonable for our fans and for us, you know, to maintain the lives that we've worked for at home and be able to share our music around the world. I guess to find a balance is our goal.
And do you think that now with technology like MySpace, Facebook, this is something that can be done in a little bit easier than years ago?
Oh, absolutely. It still blows my mind when I pack up a T-shirt and ship it to Russia or, you know, or Czech Republic. I'm still just mind blown by that. And without the internet and technology and social networking sites and the ability for, you know, I don't think we would have never gotten signed without MySpace, I don't think. I mean, you know, and internet forums talking about us and building, you know, the little bit of buzz that we had. And I definitely think that it's a music fan's wet dream right now, being able to hear all these great bands from all over the place that, you know, how the hell would you ever hear about them? Just by word of mouth and someone write you a letter, I mean, you wouldn't know. You can just go search, and we'll go to Last FM and click the trend and find a whole bunch of bands that people think it should be in the same category as us, and just new music all the time. It's great.
And what about on the piracy thing? Where do you stand on that?
Well, I don't like it because I like it because you can hear all the music you want to hear. I don't like it because it makes it harder for bands to get the financial backing that they need to get, because a record sale doesn't really mean as much as it did before. And, you know, I have no idea how many people have downloaded our record. I also have no idea how many people have paid for it. But I would venture to guess that out of the 100% of people that have our album, less than 5% have paid for it. That's maybe a generous estimate. I'm not sure. But I love it that people can hear our music, and I guess that's really important, because I know we're never going to get rich on that. But I do appreciate it when people support us by buying a record, for sure.
And just to kind of close it off, is there anything else you want to say to the people listening to this and waiting for you guys to hit the road in the U.S.?
Yeah, just say, you know, keep in touch with us on Facebook and MySpace. We love to hear from everybody. And, you know, we will keep in touch, and hopefully we'll be playing in your city soon.